Good morning, West Derwin. Let's begin worship this morning. Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great God above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountains belong to him, and the sea is his, for he made it. In his hands he formed the dry land." Come, let us worship and bow down. Let's kneel before him in prayer. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let us stand and worship together. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are all these times.
I love you, Lord, and I give my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice,
and welcome to all. We have a good crowd gathered today and getting pretty much in the middle of the summer. Nice to see everyone here today. Welcome to all of those who are joining us online. Every week we have a fuller congregation than what you see here. We have quite a few sites than who knows how many people that join us in worship each Sunday via the internet, and we appreciate again our team that does such a great job getting that out there. So welcome to you as well. Welcome to all who are here. If you could, please fill out one of the attendance cards that you see in the back of the pew in front of you, or you can do that online on our app. But we would love to have a record of your attendance, whether you're a visitor or a member here at West Irwin. I encourage you to do that. This evening at 5 p.m., we will have our reflections class, which meets right across this main parking lot in our office building in one of the large classrooms there. So I hope that you'll be able to come back and study the Bible with us, if you can, at 5 p.m. This evening. This coming Wednesday, our Vacation Bible School kicks back into gear, and looking forward to that. I know we have a great program there. Donnie Cook has done such a marvelous job, and I know the kids will be excited to start that back up again at 6:30 Wednesday. We have other adult classes that meet on Wednesday. One of them I normally teach in the chapel. This week I will be at North Tenaha joining our wonderful brethren there in their summer series. And so John Murray, one of our members here, will be teaching the chapel class. John has recently written a book on the Psalms. And so John will be sharing some of his great work from that wonderful book, the Book of the Psalms, on Wednesday evening. Our classes begin at 6:30. Along that same line of subbing in Bible classes, we're excited that a week from today, we expect to have Stan and Judy Clark back with us. Stan has been, as you know, recovering for a long time, and that means that we've needed to shuffle around and try to find someone who would teach his class for him, and that someone has mostly been Michael Hurley. So Michael and Tammy have done a great job. Michael subbing in there, brother, we appreciate that very, very much, and Stan and Judy look forward to seeing y'all back in your place 1 week from today. In your bulletin are lots of other announcements, including some great pictures from our recent New Orleans mission trip that several folks went on and worked with the children there and did so much good, and you can see that in those pictures in your bulletin. On our prayer list, please notice in the bulletin, I won't repeat those, or on the app, there are some updates, however, we have shared throughout this past week that our dear brother and friend Tim Holtz Sr. passed away, and his services are going to be Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, at Lloyd James Funeral Home here in town. There'll be a visitation at 9 a.m. and then the memorial service at 10 a.m. So that's this Wednesday morning, 9 and 10 o'clock, our services for Tim Holt Sr. We've been keeping Gail and, of course, Tim Jr. in our prayers. Tim was able to be with us Wednesday night at our ice cream Devo on the 3rd of July. And Tim, I believe, is here again as well today. So be sure and give him a hug if you can. We want to remember Lindsay Mink and her family. Her mother, Amber Bowens, passed away. And we want to remember Lindsay. That service was yesterday. Also, Amber Chauncey's mother, Kathy Allison, has recently been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so we want to continue to remember her and Amber and all of their wonderful, wonderful family in our prayers.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning. I just want to echo what Bill said, and we're happy to have you all here with us this morning. Bill mentioned Tim Holt Sr. suddenly passing away last Sunday. I want to just say a couple words about Tim. I was able to dig out old West Irwin directory from the mid-60s, and there's some of you in that directory, and I can promise you look different, and because I look different. But Tim and his family were in there, and I got to thinking, Tim and I graduated from high school the same year, and I can remember Tim for probably as long as I can remember anybody, and it was from here. It was from West Irwin, and Tim just had a very pleasant way about him, and he just had a way of making you feel good about things. And if you knew anything about Tim and kind of some of the situations he dealt with, to me, he really modeled walking with honor and grace in the face of adversity. And he'll be missed. He will be. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we could come and gather in this place and to commune with you and with each other and to have the freedom to worship you and to learn about your word. And Father, we're thankful for knowing that when we meet together, that you are present with us, and where you're present, there is power. And Father, today we cast all of our burdens before you, because we know by doing that, you will take them and take them away from us. And we know that you are aware of everything going on in our lives, and that we pray for the peace that only you can give us, to take away our fears, our worries, and our anxieties. And to help us to reflect on the goodness and to know that you provide the strength to help us through the trials that we all experience in lives, because we are human and it's a human world and it's imperfect. And Father, it's the summertime, and we pray for those who are traveling and those who are not able to be here today, and we pray that they will reach their destination safely and they will return home safely. And Father, we pray for this church. We pray for the staff, for the elders, for the deacons, for the teachers, the volunteers that make this go, for the Vacation Bible School that's taking place this summer. And Father, overall, we pray for the growth of this church. And Father, we pray for those who are on our prayer list. We pray for Eli Hodges, who's scheduled for a cardiac MRI. We pray for the recovery of Garrett Smith, who is now at home. We pray for the Holt family and the loss that they have suffered. We pray for Sherry Davis, who's Debbie Phillips' sister, who's under hospice care. We pray for Kathy Culpepper's mother, Philip Bullard. Pray for the brother of Eric Mosley and the entire Mosley family in the passing of Phil Mosley. And Father, we pray that you be with Sheila Harris's grandson, PJ, who will be going through some issues and getting a helmet. Father, we pray for Jacob Sister, who is Stephanie Beard's nephew, who's going through cancer treatment. We don't know him, but we know her, and they're a part of this family. And Father, we pray that those who are not on this list, we know that you know who they are. We pray that you send your Holy Spirit to those who need comfort and protection. And Father, we pray for this world and the confusion that's going on in it. We pray for our elected leaders, but Father, we pray especially for those who would use strife to divide us to gain their own political power. And Father, we know it's that division that Satan uses to keep us from being focused on you. And we pray for the unrest in the world. Father, we pray that we will be strong and steadfast in the battle between good and evil, to be mindful of those words in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Father, we know we've all sinned. We know that we've all fallen short. But we are here to help and encourage each other. And Father, we know that you will always love us, that you will never forsake us, and you will always do what's best for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for our Lord's Supper, let's sing, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There.
I'm going to take just a moment, liberty of time, to tell you that I'm thankful to be able to be up on the podium this morning. It has been almost 3.5 years since I have been incapacitated in different times. And I have appreciated the prayers from the congregation. They've helped a great deal. And I've missed time and time again, different things that I wanted to do and couldn't do. But I'm getting better, and I feel better, and it's taught me patience for the last 3.5 years. I thought I was a patient man until this other came along, and so I'm much more patient than I was. But I'm a blessed man, and God has watched over me, and we've uttered prayers, and they have helped, and we've got more to do, but we'll get there. This morning I'm going to read from Matthew 26, verse 26, beginning. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which he poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom." The Lord's Supper is a visible representation of good news of the death of Christ for our sins. It reminds us of Christ's death and the glorious hope of his return. Our participation in it strengthens our faith through fellowship with Christ and with others, other believers. So this morning, as we eat this bread and drink the wine, we should reflect as we recall Jesus' death and his promise to come. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, thanks to you for your presence and your purpose, for your loving kindness and your steadfast spirit. May the blessing of this common strength, our faith, unify our hearts to remember Jesus' broken body as we partake of this bread. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Near the cross, a trembling soul, of mercy.
Would you pray with me? Humbly we continue our prayer as we partake of the fruit which represents the shed blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Bless the purpose of this act and be with us always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring his sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with this shadow o'er me.
Time for the contribution. It's convenient to do it now. Sandra and I have worshipped here since 1994, and we thought the congregation we came from was generous, but I've never seen a congregation that was as generous with their giving as this church is. Whatever the cause, whatever the need, it was always met, and then some. And so you're to be commended for your generosity. You're to be commended for your desire to help the church grow. And you should now will pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abundant generosity. As we give today, open our hearts to be more generous, reflecting your love. Bless these offerings to further the work that will be done here in your name, and bless us as we cheerfully give. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to
have a kids' time this morning, so join me as we sing a song while all of our kids come and have a seat on the steps leading up to the stage area. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, yes, it's me, yes, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. All righty. You know, when you leave here today, you're going to go to your BLAST class. And when you're in your BLAST class, the rest of us that stay in this big auditorium are going to listen to a lesson from our preacher, Mr. Bill Allen, and he's going to be speaking to us about a lesson on prayer. So I thought I'd spend just a few minutes talking to you young kids about praying. Can anyone here up here on the stage spell the word pray? Can someone spell it? Absolutely right. P-R-A-Y, pray. I want to break that down just a bit and use each letter of that word to help you remember why you should pray. First letter is P. And I want you to remember a word that will remind you of that letter, and that word is praise. When we pray, who do we praise? God, you are right. Jesus, yes. God and Jesus. God is worthy to be praised. We thank God for who He is, for what He has done, and what He will continue to do for us. We praise God for His love, and His mercy, and His kindness, and His forgiveness. We also praise God for His special gift of salvation, giving us a home forever in a place called what? Where will we go someday? To church? But when we die, where will we go? Heaven, you're right. And that is God's promise to those who will follow Him, right? We'll be very happy. You're right. We'll be extremely happy. All right. What about that second letter? The letter R. P was praise. R is repent. Repent. Yes. Let me talk to you a little bit about that word. That's a big word, isn't it? Repentance means that we change our minds from doing things that are wrong to following God and doing those things that are right. And you know, when we pray, we need to ask God to help us live better lives. Ask God to help us to change, to become more like Him. We ask God to help us live holy lives so that we can please Him. P was praise. R was repent. The third letter of pray is A. The A stands for ask. Ask. When you pray, ask God for things you want. And for things you need. Also ask God to help other people. You know, we pray often when we gather here in this big room on Sunday mornings. We pray that God will heal those who are sick. We want to do that for our friends too, don't we? Yes. You do ask your parents when you have a need or a want. You ask your parents. And that's what we do when we pray to God. We ask, and God knows what's best for us. And that leads us to that third letter, the fourth letter, Y. And here's another word you may not understand, but I'll help you understand it. And it's the word yield. Yield. That means to pause. Or to wait. When we pray, we need to wait and listen for God's answer. Do you know when you ask God for something, He knows exactly what you need and He knows what's best for you? Right back here on the back.
Thank you.
when we pray, we need to listen for God's answer. You know, when you ask your mom or your dad for something, they know whether or not to give it to you, don't they? Because they know what's best for you. Pray, P-R-A-Y, P, praise, R, repent, A, ask, Y, yield. Can you remember that today? That's why we pray. That's some reasons why we pray. We're very blessed right here at West Irwin with so many wonderful, wonderful people. I think we're blessed because we have so many older people. You think I'm one of those, don't you? But do you know there are actually people here today older than Mr. Davey? There are. We have a special one here today. He's having a birthday. Today he is 89 years old, and his name is Mr. Lawrence. So before you go to blast, I want you to, along with me, wish him a happy birthday. I want us all to say it. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Mr. Lawrence. Thank you so, so much. And you might say a special prayer for him today. Can you do that? You can go on back and head on to blast with your friends, and we'll sing another verse of that song. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Before Bill's sermon, let's sing Sweet Hour of Prayer.
The sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and lifts me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the
sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. We've sung about that today in these wonderful songs that Logan has led us in. Several of the songs today are prayer songs, just as we've been singing over these last several weeks during this series on powerful prayers. Our shepherd Grant Knight, during our prayer time, asked God to hear our burdens and to take our burdens. And what a blessing it is in our prayers to be able to take our burdens to God. At the end of this lesson, Logan's going to lead us in my mother's favorite song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, which is a call to pray to our friend. You want to hear some great, encouraging words about prayer? talk to someone like Fred and Sandra Wingate. What a blessing, brother, to see you up here today. Great, great blessing. And what a blessing you are to this church. People, I think, that don't have faith, that don't understand what it's like when you're going through something that's more than what you can bear, to know the comfort and the power of people praying for you. It's impossible to communicate the emotional and spiritual help that you get from knowing that there are people who care about you who are praying for you. I imagine most all of us have been on the receiving end of such prayers. What a great blessing. And as Davey led us with the kids, it is who standing in the need of prayer? It's me. For some of you, that was a bit nostalgic, taking you back to your youth group days. But it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. In this series on powerful prayers, we're changing our focus now for the next few weeks to Jesus. For the next three lessons, our series on powerful prayers will focus on Jesus. We'll focus on Jesus. And I get what you're thinking. You're thinking, Bill, isn't that the focus of every sermon? Shouldn't it be the focus, Bill, of every sermon? Well, yeah, of course, of course. But over the last several weeks, we've seen some Old Testament prayers. We've seen some prayers from the epistles. We've seen a very powerful prayer from the book of Acts in the early church. And so for the next 3 weeks, I want us to focus on what Jesus has to say about prayer. And I'm going to use these three sermons to speak about these three topics. Jesus' teaching on prayer, that prayer that we typically call, have traditionally called, the Lord's Prayer, and also Jesus' prayer life itself. And that's where we're going over these next few weeks. Interestingly enough, what we call the Lord's Prayer is found not only in Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, but also in Luke. But it's in a different place in Luke 11. And the way Luke introduces that prayer is in response to the disciples coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we'll share about that next week, and then the week after we'll look at Jesus' prayer life in particular. But today I want us to look at a few of our Lord's teachings on prayer. We could share a lot, couldn't we, about what Jesus has to say about prayer and what we see in his life, what we see in his works even, and what those things tell us about Jesus and his prayer life, his importance that he placed on prayer, the Son of God himself, praying to the Heavenly Father. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to look at some of that. But today, specifically, a few of his teachings on prayer, and primarily, they come from parables. Jesus loved to teach in parables. A parable is loosely defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As we look at parables, we realize Jesus tells them to make a point, and each parable has a specific point. There are lots of other applications as well. Some of the parables have a little bit of explanation about where it's coming from, maybe a hint or two about what that point is based on the situation in which Jesus tells it. We'll see some of that today. But as we look at the Lord's teachings on prayers, on prayer this morning, I want us to look at some of his parables and some of his other teaching as well. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount that we mentioned, Matthew 5 through 7, included in that is Matthew chapter 6, which speaks a lot about worship, public worship, and a lot about prayer. And Jesus tells us we must have the right motives when we pray. We must have the right motives when we pray. This is one of those passages where, as Jesus does his teaching, we get a little bit of a hint from Matthew as he begins this. In verse 1, Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So Jesus is going to be talking to us about our motives when we worship, about our motives when we fast, about our motives when we give. and about our motives when we pray. And Jesus tells us we must have the right motives when we pray, and he's already told us the wrong motive. In verse 1, the wrong motive is so that others will see us, so that they'll hear our wonderful prayer, or they'll see us praying so devoutly, and they'll think better of us. And that's not the goal in prayer. And that should never be our motives in anything we do, certainly not in our worship, certainly not in our prayers. And so Jesus goes on and he talks about giving, first of all, but then he speaks about prayer, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, Jesus says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, I wish that had said, and when you preach, Bill, don't go on babbling like the pagans. Okay, I get it. I understand. And he talks to preachers in some other passages, but this one he's speaking to all of us about praying. And he says the nature of the prayer and its effectiveness is not about how many words it has or the quality of words or anything like that. Now let's talk about what this is not saying. Jesus is not saying never pray out loud. He's not saying never pray in public. How do you know that, Bill? Well, because I've read the rest of the Bible, actually. And as we've been going on through this series, we've been reading prayers that people prayed and obviously others heard because it was recorded. And Acts chapter 4 is a wonderful prayer that's recorded when the church was threatened by the Jewish and Roman leaders. And those words are recorded when the church got together after Peter and John came back from being threatened. They prayed, and we heard that. And it was a very genuine prayer, a very sincere prayer, very honest prayer, acknowledging that the threat is real. They could do what they're threatening to do. They did it to Jesus. And so Jesus is not saying never pray out loud. He's not saying never let people hear you when you pray. So what is he saying? I think he's saying have the right motives. Don't pray just to be seen by others. Let your prayers be genuine and sincere. Don't pray so that you'll receive the reward of instant gratification, so that people around you will think what a great person you are, what great faith you are, what a marvelous prayer. I've been around people who had the gift of leading prayers. Seriously. I remember we had a dear friend in Arlington. His name was Bill Taylor. It's a wonderful black man, huge. I think he'd been in the military, and he had this really resounding, deep voice, and he had the best prayer. I mean, he was just a wonderful prayer leader in the congregation. He became one of our elders, and he was just such an incredible man of faith, and that spewed out in his prayers. And I remember he had such an impact that he was one of the first ones I remember ever referring to God in prayer as Father God. A lot of times it's our Father or dear God or Lord or something like that. But when he led prayers, he would say, Father God, blah, blah, blah. And then I began to notice something. We began to notice something for weeks and weeks after that. And still, there would be men who would get up to pray and they would address God as, guess what? Father God. And I think they were doing that sincerely and they were doing that genuinely. I know Bill Taylor certainly was doing it genuinely and sincerely. But it had an impact. Did he want to have an impact so that people would think what marvelous prayers he has? Absolutely not. And if that had been his motive, I would have never thought that about him. But his motive was pure, genuine, out of love for the church, out of love for God, and a respect for that Father God that he knew would respond to our prayers. Be genuine. Be sincere. Don't do it to be seen by others. Don't do it just to have a lot of words. And that's when Jesus takes advantage of that moment in Matthew's gospel. and tells them what that looks like in what we call the Lord's Prayer. But again, we'll look at that next week. Have the right motives when you pray. Secondly, we must be persistent in prayer. We must be persistent in prayer. Jesus teaches about that, and we read that in some of his parables, certainly in this one, in Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, verse 8, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity," the NIV says, "he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Verse 11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" And then the application, verse 13, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We must be persistent in prayer. And Jesus gives us several reasons for that. And the first one is taken out of life. That neighbor has some unexpected company. They just dropped in. And they weren't ready. And so they go next door and they ask for some extra bread. And the neighbor says, "Oh man, I am comfortable. I am warm or cool, whichever. I am not getting out of this bed." But why does he ultimately get out of the bed? "Hey, Joe, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until you come out, Joe. I got company. I'm not going back empty-handed, Joe. I know you got bread." Jesus is saying, look, that guy will get up. Not because he loves his neighbor so much, but because he wants to respond to his persistence. Again, in a parable, you have to be careful about how much you apply. Certainly, Jesus is not one that doesn't care about us. But what Jesus is saying is, be persistent. Don't give up. You say, "But Bill, I've been praying for this for years." I know. And that's hard. That's hard. But don't give up. Keep praying. Yes, add that line, "Thy will be done." That's one of my favorite prayers these days about everything that's going on all around us, by the way. But don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Jesus says, hey, ask and it'll be given. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Earthly fathers know how to give good gifts in response to what is asked for in their homes. How much more God? Will God do the same thing? Certainly true. Certainly true. And another parable that Jesus gives that speaks to this is in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Okay, that's a little bit of a clue about the parable that's about to be told. If you want to know, okay, what is this? How does this apply? That's the answer. Luke is telling us, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" And then Jesus' application in verse 6. "And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" It's almost like Jesus is saying, will he find people still praying? Again, be careful how you apply this. Obviously, God is not like the unjust judge in some ways. He cares about his people. He actually wants people to experience justice and fairness on this earth. But Jesus is applying what this judge, how he would respond to the one thing that this woman, this widow, would not quit doing, and that is asking. Continually asking over and over again until he finally says yes. And then Jesus applies it in verses 6 through 8, and he says, an unjust judge would respond, how much more than a just and holy and loving God? How much more will he respond to those of his children that he loves that keep asking? Again, at the very beginning, we should always pray and never give up. You say, well, Bill, sometimes I go through a period of time where I'm just tired and I'm just depressed and I just feel like I've given up and I stop praying for a while. Okay, I get that. But don't stop praying forever. Hang in there. Hang in there. Keep asking. Again, with the recognition that God, this may not be your will. It sure doesn't appear to be your will. But I want you to know it's still what I want. And so I'm going to tell you again and ask you again. Jesus says, always be persistent in prayer. I'm not going to tell you the P and the R and the Y of Davies, P-R-A-Y, but do you remember what the A was? Ask. Ask. Keep asking. And I'm not, the reason I'm not telling you those is not because I don't remember. I wrote them down, but this one fits so well, brother, so I'm just going to say the A. Keep asking. Finally, letter C, the third one. Jesus' teachings on prayer continues in Luke chapter 18. We must pray with humility. This could be one of Jesus' most well-known parables, along with the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son and the sons and the loving father. This one ranks right up there as well. Luke 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Okay, now you know where he's going, right? He's calling on us to have humility in prayer, to be humble, because he's speaking directly to some of those who had that wrong motive, who had that wrong attitude, who were proud and arrogant in their prayers, who weren't praying out of genuineness, who weren't praying out of sincerity, who didn't recognize how great the God they were about to talk to was and how sinful they themselves are. And so Jesus told them a story, told them a parable. Verse 10 of Luke 18, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, a religious leader, and the other a tax collector, an outcast, basically. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Sound like a sincere, genuine prayer to me, right? Jesus described him well as one who prayed about himself. Verse 13, but the tax collector, the outcast, the man nobody would talk to, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He got it. He recognized the greatness of the God he was addressing and his own sinfulness. Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man rather than the other went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We must pray with humility. We must pray acknowledging our sins and repent. I think that's the R word, isn't it, Davey? We must pray and ask for God's forgiveness, recognizing him as the great God. And ourselves as sinners who have no right to go to him, and yet he has called us to do exactly that. We must pray with humility. God, forgive me, a sinner. Well, the interesting thing to me about prayer and Jesus is that Jesus not only taught about prayer, Jesus himself prayed. That is phenomenal to me. Every once in a while, I stop for a minute and think about that one thing, and it's amazing to me. The Son of God prayed. The Son of God, who had all power and all knowledge and all wisdom, who is from eternity and would exist for eternity, he prayed. He prayed. Again, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer as he taught us to pray next week. And then we'll look at the prayer life of our Lord himself and not just say that Jesus prayed, but actually give examples of when he prayed. And I've said it before, but the most powerful reason we should pray is this. Jesus prayed. Talk about a call to prayer. If the Son of God himself prayed, I can't imagine Bill not praying. I can't imagine. What a friend we have in Jesus. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of cares at you today? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you need a friend today, if we can help you and lead you to be closer to that friend that we pray to, that we look to, that encourages us to pray, come as we stand and sing this great hymn together.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Glorify thy name. Deuteronomy 6:4 in Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohano, Adonai Hud. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Shema is the prayer of declaration that the Israelites would do twice a day at bedtime and in the morning. It's probably the prayer that Jesus spoke the most in his life because he was the perfect lamb. He was perfect and he followed all of the commandments. We know that. So he would say that prayer twice daily. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohano, Adonai Hud. And we know that in Mark, in the 12th chapter, the 29th verse, he turns it into the first commandment, the prayer that he had said probably from childhood. And it reads, and Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, your church comes to you today having worshiped and praised your name, studied on the word of prayer and focused on the internal Christ that we are all forming within ourselves, thanking you for your grace and mercy throughout all of our history for thousands of years. Lord, giving us mercy through the fall of Adam, through the prophets, through the law, through the baptism of John the Baptist, and through the birth and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we just pray that our hearts are unified as a church and as a people under your truth, and with Christ coming forth in our hearts, that we can shine to the world and continue to grow the church and to do your will. Lord, keep the sick and bereaved and the suffering from excessive pain, and help them to see that the truth is found within the spiritual realm, and that all that is physical and passing is but a speck of dust in time. Help us to attain to the higher truth in word and deed throughout our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.